Right. Well, very warm welcome to each and every one of you. Thank you for being here today. As always, a special welcome to anyone joining via the live stream or another one of our recorded platforms. Good to have you tuning in with us. Our text this morning is going to be in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Isaiah, tomato, tomato, whatever you got. We know where we are. It's Isaiah 58. We're going to have a look at the first 12 verses of this chapter of Scripture. And you will need a Bible open, so go ahead and find it. Thumb around in the table of contents. Let's meet over there, because we're going to need to get into it with each other. And as you're finding that, if you have your copy of our guide for the month, you want to open that up as well. You're going to want pages 4 and 5 available, as well as pages 24 and 25. Maybe take some notes. Also, trusting the Lord has been inspiring different prayers to pray for us all around the room over these last couple of weeks, and we'll get together next Sunday night for a very special prayer meeting. We'll take everything that we've talked about in here on Sundays before the Lord. We'll lay it before Him, and we'll seal it in prayer together. This morning, we continue our series, A Church for the City. We're exploring what it means to be a church not only in Nashville, but for Nashville. We're seeking to be a group of people that are gathered with God and His purposes to transform the city around us. This is because we believe that God has placed us here. God has delivered all of us together to this specific moment in history for a specific purpose: to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to our neighbors and to bring the hope and the healing of that good news to every corner of our city with it. Now, last week, we considered this idea we want to be a movement and not a monument. We've been thinking. We're at a bit of a crossroads as a group of people together today, and we want to be a group of people that's pushing forward, trusting God for what He has for us in the future. Because as a gospel church, we can read the pages of history and we can see how this goes. One generation has the gospel, the next generation assumes the gospel, and the next generation loses the gospel. And the result of that, in all times, in all places — this is not unique to us, this is not a Nashville issue — we have an opportunity here. We can be the movement of God, or we can become a museum that will eventually become a mausoleum. And we don't want that. We want to be a part of God's movement, so we lean in today to see what God has for us in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 12, and I want to lead you into this idea of transform the city. Transform the city. So Isaiah 58, we encounter a powerful word that God has for His people. The very end of this is God says, I can lead you to a place, I can transform you bunch, where you can be the group of people known as you are the repairers of the breach. But this powerful word that God has for His people, it's not without some process before we get there. God's word challenges us here today to examine our hearts and to re-examine them afresh, to consider, are we just performing religious acts, or are we being transformed by the gospel to be about God's business in His world? Because the difference between playing church and being the church is an infinite gap. So are we simply playing church, or are we being the church? I'm sure you've recognized, it's easy to go through the motions. It's easy to get around and check all the religious boxes and kind of use that as a sense of a bit of a coping mechanism to think, you know what, I'm doing enough, we're doing enough. But Isaiah 58 calls us to something deeper. We have to examine and re-examine our hearts. Are we really making a difference in the community around us? Is there a palpable sense of the presence of God among us? Or is something else here? It's an infinite gap, playing church and being the church. It's an infinite gap between them. Yet it's veiled. It can seem like it's such a close call. One is focused on ourselves. The other one says, I will lay down myself, my preferences, and my rights for the sake of being a part of a fresh move of God. So I want to invite you. I want to invite you to move beyond ritual and into movement, where that we can be truly repairers of the breach, restorers of what's broken in our lives, in our church, and in our city as well. So let me help acquaint you with Isaiah and his work, okay? The book of Isaiah, it's known as the miniature Bible, okay? Think about this with me. The miniature Bible right here. You know the book of Isaiah, it mirrors the structure of the Bible as a whole. It's simply a fantastic piece of literature. It spans the history of Israel. It talks about God's messages of judgment and ultimate hope and salvation. The first 39 chapters of the book, they read and they feel much like the 39 chapters of the Old Testament. They focus heavily on God's judgment, and they have God's warnings for his people. In these chapters, God's prophet Isaiah, he shares of God's prophecies and his warnings of judgment for people who look like they're with him, but their hearts are far from him. And then in chapter 40, there's a noticeable shift. There's a big change. In the last 27 chapters, you have messages of hope, you have words of comfort, and you have the promise of redemption, which is much like the New Testament, is it not? So you have God's prophet. He speaks a word of God's suffering servant who will come and who will take away the sins of the world. Indeed, everyone who believes in him. Well, this is a clear foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. His prophecy, written about 700 years before the birth of Jesus, it spans the themes of judgment, mercy, restoration, and the coming kingdom of God. So this book is amazing in how it's put together. And let me tune you into the context of chapter 58. Because chapter 58 is given to us in this latter portion. It is a call to true heart deep worship. Isaiah 58 is striking. It's indeed challenging. And it would be wrong of us if we can go through this chapter of Scripture today and not feel challenged by what God has for us in his word. It comes at a time when the original audience, when Israel, they were outwardly religious, but they were inwardly corrupt. The original audience, they were engaging in fasting and in prayer and in other religious rituals, but their hearts were far from God. And the context by which God wants to get his message across to his people is by talking about this issue of fasting. When God talks about the issue of fasting, when it's a common ritual where we give up food, we deny ourselves, and we look after God and others, you can almost see fasting as a bit of an epoch event, a bit of a picture for what God is saying he desires for his people to be like and all about. God's word for his people, the original audience, is that they were fasting and they were seeking God's help. But in the process, they were being selfish, and they were exploiting the workers, they were ignoring the poor, and they were living lives that were characterized by two words, selfishness and sin. So this is a chapter of Scripture for people who think they are serving God, who appear to be doing all the right things in the right way, but wondering, where's God? If I could just speak to you very personally and pastorally, I do wonder if we have not experienced some of this in our recent history as a church. Now, you would know better than me. And there's no way of parsing this out in a room like this to go around and say, who's been doing this personally and who's been doing this corporately? But you would know better than me. How true is this of us? How true is this of the recent days in the history of our church? We appear very religious. It appears very spiritual. It's as if all the right things are happening in all the right ways. But could it not be that God has a word for his people? Yeah, you perform those things very, very well, but your hearts are far from me. You would know better than me. I'm learning quickly. You have been living this for a long time. And I come to you not as one to tisk, tisk, point the finger, that's ridiculous. I come to you as one who cares for you, I care for us. I care for what we have together. I care a great deal for what's at stake right here. I care a great deal for the potential of the good, that sense of renewal that could wash through us as a people once again. I care a great deal for the potential for a revived spirit that could take hold. I care a great deal for revived marriages, revived parenting relationships. I care a great deal for people who are older, who are parents and adults, seeking to repair the relationships that have long been left untended. I care a great deal for our city around us that's waiting on God's people to genuinely be God's people. Have we been playing church, or have we been being the church? Isaiah 58 gets after God's response to his people. Isaiah 58 is where God condemns false religion and God calls people to true worship. Worship that expresses itself in a very clear and evident love for one another, mercy for one another, and that spills over from that people and it washes through the streets around them. Do we have it? What we'll see is that God isn't impressed by empty rituals. God desires transformed hearts that lead to transformed lives. So what we have here this morning, this is a word from God. This is God's word, and it addresses people at any point, at any stage of their lives that might feel like I'm doing the right things, but where is God in the midst of my situation? Isaiah 58, it serves as a sharp reminder. It is sharp, friends. It is sharp. It is a sharp reminder that genuine faith is always expressed in love, in justice, in mercy, and indeed in good deeds. So let's just look at it together. First, it begins in verse 1 with a loud rebuke. Cry aloud and don't hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. This is what God had to get through to his people at a specific moment in history. God began with a strong rebuke. So what you have is God speaking through his prophet Isaiah, speaking to the people of Israel. He tells them to speak like a trumpet. This isn't supposed to feel light touch. This isn't supposed to feel like it was easy. This is a loud, this is a sharp word that God has. And it leads us to consider any time when we have felt religious, it seems like we're doing the right things in the right way, but sin and selfishness was actually what was going on in our hearts. This chapter is going to lead us to see true worship's not about the outward performance, but the inner transformation. So our prophet is queued up. Start bringing a loud word. And then in verses 2-3, look what we see. We see the hypocrisy gets exposed. The hypocrisy gets exposed. Yet they seek me daily and they delight to know my ways as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of God. They ask for righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. They say this. So God is kind of quoting what he would hear from their hearts back to them. They would say, why have we fasted and seen you not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of the fast, we seek your pleasure and oppress all your workers. Here, God is exposing the hypocrisy that was in the hearts of his people here. They act as though they were seeking God, but their actions, their true hearts were far from God. They were fasting. They were going through the motions, but they were still living for themselves and still oppressing one another. They were ignoring God's righteousness. They were ignoring God's justice. It just leads us. We have to do this. We have to consider. We are asking God to do so much in us and through us. Even in times in history when we look around and we wonder, where is God? Where has God been? Could it not be that our hearts were far from God and we're offering ourselves to God, but God is saying, I would delight to come through and I would delight to work, but your hearts aren't with me. So as a church, Can we see the mirror of God's word? And as a church, can we reject, can we commit to reject superficial religiosity and embrace a genuine walk with God marked by love and justice? Then we see in chapter 58, verses 2-3, we see God's going to expose their empty religious practices. He's saying that fasting, behold, you fast only to quarrel and fight with one another. not saying you're doing this thing and it's supposed to be advertising for the world. I'm with God. I'm denying myself. I'm serving my God and I'm serving my neighbor. But here's what God says. Is this not the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it not to bow down, spread his sackcloth and ashes around him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? I mean, this is a strong word that God had for his people in Isaiah. God made it clear that fasting and religious rituals were not what he desired if they're disconnected from genuine justice and genuine love. Isn't it true? This is why Paul had to write to the New Testament church, knowledge alone will puff us up, but genuine love will build us up. A church that was so full of knowledge, and you're looking around, you're saying, where is the love? Fasting is about denying self, putting self aside. But here in Isaiah 58, God's word is you are putting self ahead of God and other people. So as a church, it's this idea for us. What are we to take from this? What we would take from this is that we need to move beyond rituals. We need to be sure we're not absorbed in rituals and routines and lifestyle, but rather a life of self-sacrifice for the sake of God and others. This is what he calls for next in verses 6 through 7. God says, I wish that you would deny yourself and seek after God. Is this not the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless and the poor into your house? When you see the naked, that you would cover them and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. So God redefines this for his people. God shows people, this is what I would like. This is what I'm looking to see. It is not about the religious ritual. It is about justice and mercy and generosity being worked out through practical good works for God, one another, and the world to see. The fast that God desires is one where the chains are broken, where the hungry get fed, where the homeless find shelter, where the naked find clothes. It is about pouring ourselves out for the sake of God and one another. And friends, we of all people, we should get this. This is the heart of the gospel. It is Jesus who came to set the oppressed free. It is Jesus who came to heal the brokenhearted. It is Jesus who came to bind up the wounds of the oppressed. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to live this out in just the same way. Just as Jesus has laid down his life for us, so too we should be the eager ones. How can I lay down my life for the sake of people around me? Amen? So true worship isn't about how well we perform. It isn't about how well that looked to one another. True worship is about a life laid down. It's about the humility to say, what does God need? What does my neighbor need? And how can I give my life to help that happen? And if we do, blessings will follow. And this isn't the prosperity gospel. This is Isaiah chapter 58. This is just how scripture works. The blessings that follow from true worship. God says, if you move in this way, if I have your heart and your heart is with me, and if you are genuinely serving me heart deep, then shall your light break forth like the dawn. And then your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. You hear God? God's saying, when your heart is with me, you don't have to worry about defending yourself. You don't have to worry about protecting yourself. God is saying, I will do that for you. I will guard you. Psalm 3 says the Lord is a shield about you, in front of you, behind you. He's beneath you. He's beside you. He's above you. He's under you. He's all around you. Look at the blessings that flow from a fast that is genuinely with the Lord. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and you will hear him say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst and the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness. When God's people embrace true, authentic, heart deep, non-ritualistic, not caught up in the form of it all worship, God's promises of blessings will follow. God promises us the light will shine, the healing will come, and God will answer the prayers of his people. It's a picture of revival. It's a picture of something that is alive, that was near dead, being brought back to life. Being resuscitated, being made new. When the people of God embrace God's love and his mercy and his righteousness, the presence and the peace and the power of God is released into the lives of his people and through his people once again. So it leads us to consider, is my heart aligned with his? Am I there? It leads us to consider, are our hearts aligned with his? Are we there? And the sweetest part of the blessing is in verses 10, 11, and 12, where God promises he will make his people repairers of the breach. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desires of the afflicted, then your light shall shine, rise in the darkness, and your gloom is the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in the scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Look at how God will work through his people whose hearts are connected to him. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. And you shall raise up the foundations for many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. Wow. These verses describe a profound blessing that comes into the lives of God's people that can only be had through self-denial and service to others. So when we pour ourselves out for the hungry, when we care for the afflicted behind around us, God promises to guide us and indeed to guard us. God promises in these verses to strengthen us. And God promises in these verses to make us a source of blessing to others. So church, will we do the things necessary to be the repairers of the breach, those who build what is broken in our lives, in our church, and in the world around us? And it kind of goes back to the question. So let's go there one more time. Are we playing church or are we being the church? Isaiah 58, this is a powerful picture. The people of God, so moved, so restored by the Spirit of God, that they are the repairers of the breach. They are the people mending what is broken. They are the people restoring what is lost. They are the people building what has been torn down. But here's the challenge. It is easy to get caught up in the act of it all. It's easy to play church while we miss the deep work that God is actually calling us to. So he speaks directly to it. It's possible to fast. It's possible to gather and to go through the ritual. It's possible to pray and go through the right motions and still not please God if our hearts aren't with him. Just as Isaiah called out hollow religious practices, so too we, in the midst of casting and catching a vision for what God wants to do among us, we have to ask and we have to answer the question honestly, are we playing this or are we being this? And I know the sense are in the room, like I can feel it, like I'm not detached from what's happening right here. It's like, Thomas, we're talking about where we're going to go, this 10-year vision of the church we're going to, this is a bit heavy. Indeed it is, brothers and sisters. Because in every great movement of God, there are times when the people of God are going up, hearts with the Lord, willing to do whatever it takes, up and on, whatever the king demands. Then there are times when we fall off. There are times when we lose our way. And what the Bible would have for us to see, all of those times, they aren't mistakes. Sometimes it's because we started playing the part rather than keeping our hearts in the act. And we're wondering, where is God? So let me ask you in love, are we content with being a monument to the past, or will we do what it takes to become a movement of God's work flowing in us and through us for the renewal of our city once again? And this brings us into the vision of our church, because over the next 10 years, we want to become the kind of church that doesn't play the part, we want to be the part. We want to be the church that is in the city and for the city. Not in the city and acting like the city is being benefited from us. In the city and genuinely blessing the city around us. And what it's going to take, it's going to take so much more than, here, you hired a licensed professional. I have some ideas. Here's the growth plan. Everybody, just start logging some hours, plug into the program, and we can build it. That's absurd. It's going to take the people of God in our personal lives saying, God, I'm in it all the way. Here's my heart. So 10 strategic initiatives that we do want to build. And indeed, we can have a lot of fun building these, friends. I know it's kind of like, wow, that's heavy. Whoa, this is a lot. Yep, that's scripture for you. And here's what God can do through us. Here's what it could look like for us to be the repairers of the breach in 10 years' time. The ones restoring the streets. The ones looking forward and looking after our city very well. We want to develop a hub of prayer and spiritual renewal. And we're going to have to get on this just beginning in the next couple of weeks, as you'll see. Isaiah tells us that fasting and prayer without a heart for God's justice is just empty. And Jesus shows us the perfect model of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he surrendered his life to the Father's will. And because of Jesus, we have direct access to the Father. And through him, we are called to become a prayer of hub, crying out for the spiritual renewal of the people around us. Another thing we want to build for and we want to do in the days ahead, we want to cultivate a vibrant creative community. Isaiah reminds us of the need to bring life and restoration to what's broken. Can you see it in this chapter? In this context of Scripture, we see that we live in a city that's known for creativity, particularly in our music. And we want to create things that are genuinely creative, that are full of the dynamic energy of the Holy Spirit. Not art for art's sake, but Jesus, the ultimate creator. He shows us that all of our creativity should ultimately point back to him. Because we have Jesus, we can use all of our creative gifts to serve God and to glorify God. We can find ways of blending together the beautiful gifts and skills that he's put all over this church to build something fresh, to build something new, to build something dynamic, to minister to the needs of our community. In the days ahead, this is happening just in the next couple of months. We're looking to activate our deacons for connection and support. Because Isaiah's vision is one where God's people serve the vulnerable and ensure that no one is left behind. This is also the heart of the gospel, where Jesus Christ, our King and our Savior, he became the ultimate servant leader. He laid down his life for us. So we're looking to activate our group of servant leaders, our deacons, to do the same, to live out the gospel in our midst, ensuring that every person in our congregation is cared for, that we're able to understand who's broken, who's hurting, where are the needs, and we can meet those. In the days ahead, we're focused on deep discipleship and biblically focused growth. Isaiah calls us for integrity and alignment between our worship and our actions. Not that we would just say the right things, but we would live it out authentically. We have a model for obedience in Jesus Christ. That's not just one of hearing the word, but one of living the word as well. And because of Jesus, we are called into deep discipleship to know more about God, yes, but to love God more and to live a heart that's all about God as well. To do all of this, we're looking to enhance our team to carry the vision to Nashville. Because Isaiah emphasizes the importance of leadership that is just and aligned with the purposes of God. Jesus, our true shepherd, he leads us with justice and grace through his leadership, and he empowers other people to lead. So in the days ahead, we're looking to build and keep building a team that reflects God's servant leadership for this church and for this city, a team that's committed to carrying on the gospel mission and being sure everything that we do is carried through this need to give glory to God. We're looking to build a college and young adults ministry in the days ahead because Isaiah spoke to a group of people in exile longing for hope and longing for restoration. I'm delighted that we have a few new college students with us this morning. And can we just say to you and to the generation through you, we as a church, we see you, we care, and we're coming for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, we have a message of hope. We have a message of hope. We have a message of hope, and we have an anchor for truth that can inspire you to live boldly for Christ wherever you are. And this isn't just about the next generation. We are looking to bring faith and work ministry to the whole church. Isaiah highlights the need for a faith that transforms every part of our lives. Jesus, through his earthly ministry, he shows us that our faith must be integrated into every aspect of our work, our relationships, and our purpose. So we are looking to care for one another as a church and be sure you understand how what happens in here on Sunday, how it matters and it plays for Monday. We are looking to engage our city. Isaiah 58, it reminds us that the living faith engages with the brokenness of the world. You notice When you read the pages of the New Testament, it's not Jesus just staying in the synagogue. He went out. He met the people of the world. He met them where they were. We find Jesus healing the sick. We find Jesus feeding the hungry. And we find Jesus preaching the gospel to the lost. And because of Jesus, we are compelled to step out into the brokenness of our city and to meet the needs of the poor and the oppressed and the marginalized in the love and power of the gospel, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we realize this church does not exist for itself or even for Nashville. Isaiah's vision extends beyond the local community to the nations. Jesus' Great Commission calls us to make disciples of all nations, bringing the gospel to every corner of the earth. Our commitment is to the global missions is to be rooted in this mandate, and we want to see it happen in our day, indeed in our lifetime. And finally, we are pursuing radical generosity in the days ahead. Isaiah's vision extends beyond the local community to all nations. Indeed, it talks about how we must live lives that are marked by generosity, caring for the hungry, caring for one another, caring for God above ourselves and our preferences, our wants, and our needs. And our King Jesus is the ultimate example of radical generosity, isn't he? He gave everything, even his life, so we could benefit from the grace of his gospel. And because of Jesus, we are called to be radically generous, not just with our resources, but with our lives, giving freely as we have received freely, so that others can come to know the extravagant love of Jesus Christ. Friends, these 10 strategic initiatives all together, this is but a blueprint for what we believe the Lord can lead us into, indeed where he is calling us to go in the days ahead. You look at the list and you think, well, we just need to go take a nap, right? We have got a lot of work to do, and we do. But before we start passing around the clipboards and signing up for the different roles to serve, we have to hear God from his word. We have to have hearts that are genuinely with him, don't we? We want to be a part of what God is about. And if we do, he will bring us through and he will move us to that place where we too, we can be repairers of the breach and restorers of the streets. Isaiah's call is to be repairers and restorers, to live in this dynamic vision. And it's something we can't do on our own. This is the outworking of hearts that are with God and hearts that are yielded to God. And this is built on the foundation of the gospel, which allows us to build and rebuild and to repair what has been broken again and again. And because of Jesus Christ, we have hope and power to step into this vision, knowing that he will empower us and he will bring us through. So our invitation in these days is to join the movement and to come build with us. We are looking to build. Isaiah was speaking to a people who needed to stop merely playing the part and start faithfully being the part in the people of God. And I just wonder, is there any part of this movement that needs to get moving with us? Can we all be moving together? We won't get there if anyone is trying to lag behind. So my invitation to you is to join this church. Get involved in a ministry. Find a place where you can be served and find a place where you can serve as well. Join one of our amazing Connect groups. Get involved in supporting the mission of this financially with your resources. But in all of this, don't miss the greatest invitation that we have. It's simply this, to come home to Jesus. Come home to Jesus, church. Let's come home to him. Because as we journey through Isaiah 58, we see the heart of God for the broken. And when we see we are the people who are far from God, when we see that we are the people who are doing the fast to God, but God's saying, I don't feel your heart in this with me, we need to know in a fresh way, Jesus can repair your soul. Jesus can repair our soul. He is the ultimate repairer. And there's no repairing and there's no restoring without being deeply repaired, without being deeply restored. For any of this that feels like it's just another thing that we got to get up now, we got to go and do, receive the invitation of Jesus today. Come to me. All who are weary, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, come. He invites you to come. If you're broken, he's offering you healing in the midst of all of this. If you're weary, he's offering you rest. If you're searching, he is offering you direction. And if you are ready, he is offering you a front line seat in his mission in the world. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we want to take just a moment for quiet, where we can receive whatever your Spirit wants to say to us, whatever you need to impress on our hearts, whatever you need to do, before we rise and we get busy doing the next thing. A moment for quiet, church, to receive whatever God has for each of us in our hearts. God, we need to be led by you. So we pray that you would lead us. And as you lead us, and as you call us home to you in every facet of our lives, Father, we do pray that we would experience your transforming love. Transform us, God, every part of us, the public parts of us and the private parts as well. Transform us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Father, we don't count our lives as precious to ourselves, but precious to you. Father, your word tells us we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We want to glorify you in everything, even in our bodies. So help us to do that together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.